Brother have one.
My sister broke her wrist on it last year.
I smiled. Don't tell my mom that. It will only make her think she's right. I must have been staring at the trampoline longingly because Donovan said,
Do you want to jump on it?
Yes. He laughed like I was kidding, but I was already heading for the sliding glass door across the way. The trampoline had a net around it. I slipped off my flip-flops, unzipped the net, and rolled onto the bouncy surface. Then I stood and took several small practice bounces before I gave it my all. This is so fun! I called to Donovan as he walked out of the house with two bottles of water. I bounced onto my knees and then to my feet again several times before I finally launched myself onto my back and stayed there until all was still again. The trampoline moved as Donovan climbed through the opening and joined me. He must have left the water on the padded border because when he lay down next to me, his arms were free. I moved my foot over to his to see if he'd taken off his shoes. My bare foot slid over his socked one. Just checking, I said.
Everyone knows you take your shoes off on a trampoline.
I left my foot up against his, and we stared up at the clouds lazily making their way across the blue sky for several quiet minutes.
Do you want to talk about it?
He asked, calling me out once again. No. He reached over and took my hand. I talked to Remy this morning. Leah told me that directors talk to each other, and I should be less worried about what the public thinks about me, and more worried about what Remy thought of the article. About me.
And what did he say?
That I'm green, but spunky.
You are spunky.
I don't know if he'd hire me again. If he'd recommend anyone else hire me. If all this onset sabotage keeps happening, he probably won't.
So what are you going to do?
I still have at least 5 more weeks of filming. I guess my plan is to make the drama on set stop and to change the online narrative of me.
How?
I don't know yet.
Can't Grant write some nice things about you online? He has millions of followers. That would help the online reputation at least.
He won't. I already asked him. Twice. I'll figure something else out. In the meantime, I'm going to jump on a trampoline, pretend everything is fine, and make out with this boy I really like. I shifted onto my side and propped my head up with my hand so I could see his cute face. As a well-known critic, what are your thoughts about this plan?
What are my thoughts about denial?
I was thinking more of the making out part. He smiled, still looking up at the sky.
As a critic, I think this plan is flawed,
he said.
It could make things muddled while someone is trying to sort things out.
That's a good word. Muddled. That feels like a writer word.
Yes, it's descriptive.
He finally looked over at me, and I could see the smile in his eyes. He stared at me for a long moment.
On second thought, he said, muddled isn't a bad thing, is it? It always makes for a more interesting plot.
His hand went to the side of my neck, and I met him halfway in a kiss. It was almost as if we hadn't just kissed the night before. It felt just as good this time. I tangled my legs up with his and pulled myself closer.
You always seem to talk me into doing things I know I probably shouldn't do,
he said against my mouth. I smiled but didn't pull away. This didn't take much convincing. He gave me a small peck, then another before pulling back. He squinted his eyes as if studying me.
You're right. We better try that again, so I can figure out why that is the case.
Before I could laugh, his mouth was on mine. I closed my eyes. There was nothing to figure out. Things may have been muddled with my parents, with Remy, with Amanda. But in this aspect of my life, everything was perfectly clear. I didn't need to sort anything out here. It was no mystery why I liked kissing Donovan Lake. "By the way," I said, pulling back and propping myself up on my elbow again. I talked to Amanda. He matched my position, his brow immediately showing his worry.
"And?"
"She's denying everything. Says she has no clue how my zombie face got in her trailer."
"Do you believe her?"
"I want to believe her. I like her. I've always liked her. She's nice. She seemed sincere, but she's an actress. That's kind of her thing."
"What's her thing? Being sincere?"
he asked. "No, making people believe what she wants them to believe."
"Is that your thing too?"
he asked, running a finger down a vein on the back of my hand. "No, I don't think so. Not with you." His eyes softened, and he tugged on one of my curls. "What about you? What's your thing, Donovan Lake?"
"My thing?"
His brown eyes held mine. "Yes," I said. "Your thing."
"I'm kind of into you right now," he said.
My heart skipped a beat. "I'm kind of into you, too." He jumped to his feet and began bouncing around me on the trampoline, causing me to catch some air.
"What was the order of things we were going to do today?"
he asked while bouncing.
"Jump on a trampoline, pretend everything is fine, and..."
I squealed as a bounce sent me higher. "Make out with the boy I really like!" I yelled. He fell forward, catching himself by his hands on either side of my head.
"That sounds like the perfect day to me."
I reached up and pulled him down to me. "Me too," I said, as our lips met. 33. That night, my name was on the call sheet, and my determination was strong. I was going to catch my saboteur in the act. I thought of a plan. I'd leave my phone and a couple prop pieces on the table in my trailer. Then I'd set up my laptop to record. I'd do this for several days if I had to. The next morning, as I was getting ready to head out, my phone rang, and Abby's name flashed across the screen. I picked it up. "Hello?" "Guess what?" she asked as a greeting. "What?" "I'm coming to see you this weekend. You get to show me around a set. I get to meet famous people. It will be awesome." I swallowed. Was this a good thing or a bad thing? I wanted to see her. So bad. I needed a friend right now. But the timing was off. "You don't want me to come?" she asked. "Of course I do. It's just..." I filled her in on everything that had been going on. "Lacey, why haven't you called me? Talk to me." "I don't know. It all just happened at once, and I've been overwhelmed." "I am definitely coming this weekend. I can help you. I'll be your spy or something." I laughed, but she was right. More eyes on set wouldn't be a bad thing. "Okay. That would be great, actually. Oh, also, I need to introduce you to a boy I really like." "What?" she screamed so loud I had to pull the phone away from my ear. "You like a boy?" "I do." "Then I'm in," she said. "Even more in than I was a minute ago." "I can't wait to see you," I said. "Me too." We hung up and I grabbed my toothbrush. My dad stopped in the open bathroom doorway.
"Who was that?"
he asked, which didn't sound at all like an apology, not even close to one. "My friend Abby from home. You don't know her."
"You're still mad at me?"
"Dad, I'll be 18 in 5 months."
"I know."
I put my toothbrush down and faced him. "I know you worry about me. I know you wish I would never grow up. But what I'm doing makes me happy."
"You've been happy this last week?"
Leah must have filled him in on everything. "So you're saying every day of your life you've been happy at your job?" He grimaced.
I wish you weren't so good at arguments.
It's a gift.
One that works against me.
Dad, don't you see? This isn't about you. It's about me. It's about my life, my future. It's about what I want to do and how you've made me feel like you don't care about that at all. Like you don't care about me in the least. His face went slack.
Oh, Lacey. No. It's that I care too much.
Too much to listen? Too much to pay attention or make me feel like you support me?
That's how you felt?
More than you know.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel like I didn't support you. I moved down here for you. I thought you realized how I felt.
I thought you moved down here so that you could control every aspect of my career.
I made it hard to think otherwise.
I nodded. He held up a book I hadn't realized was in his hand. His finger was holding his place about halfway through.
I'm reading it.
Reading what? He turned the cover toward me.
Dancing Graves.
What do you think so far?
It's good.
Did you buy that? I have a copy in my car, you know.
I bought it. And it just occurred to me that I'm going to have to buy another when they redo the cover with the movie edition.
He dropped his hand back to his side. He looked a little defeated. Dad, I promise I'm not going to go wild and crazy.
You can't promise me that.
Will you stop loving me if I do?
No. I'll always love you.
I smiled. Then either way, we're good, right? He laughed a little and opened his arms. I stepped into his hug. He kissed the top of my head.
I'm not going to let you stop doing your homework.
Don't worry. Donovan won't let me stop either, so I think we're good there.
I chose a pretty good tutor, yes?
I bit my lip and looked up at him. If I told you that I'm dating him now, would that count as going wild or crazy? He tilted his head in thought.
Really? I thought he'd be too straight-laced for you.
He is. But there's this weird thing I learned. Apparently, I can't plan everything that happens. That's a good lesson for you to learn, too. He let out a single laugh.
It is. And I'm learning it.
Good.
Well, I approve of Donovan. Not that my approval matters for much with you right now.
It does, Dad. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It matters a lot. It's all I've wanted these past couple of months.
You have it.
I gave my dad one last squeeze, then said, I'm going to be late.
Good luck with the drama. And just to be clear, this is something you don't want me to get involved in.
Dad, I said with a sigh.
Okay, so no. See? I'm learning.
If I thought my dad would be able to do anything about this, it might be something I wanted him involved in. But I'd already talked to Remy. He didn't believe me. Having my dad swoop in was not going to make Remy want to hire me again or give me a good reference. Plus, I had a plan. Dancing Graves. Interior. Lord Lucas's lab, night. Scarlet perches on the windowsill outside her father's lab, the place she had seen Benjamin sneaking into. He pulls a small leather pouch from his belt, looks around, and dumps the contents into the vials on the table. Damaging any chance one might have been the cure. Scarlet growls and he turns. Scarlet.
You betrayed us.
Benjamin.
No, I'm trying to help.
Scarlet.
I don't believe you.
Scarlet lunges at him with a rusty metal fence post and drives it through his shoulder. She stands over him as crimson blood spills onto the marble floor. Evelyn appears in the doorway and gasps. Scarlet yanks the post from Benjamin's shoulder and turns slowly, blood dripping off the tip. Evelyn.
It's me, Scarlet. Don't do this.
Scarlet advances on her. 34. As I pulled down the dirt road that led to the camp, I saw the first set of security guards up ahead. They were stationed at a row of barricades. I stopped, powered down my window, and waved.
Hi, Lacey,
the one on the right said as he moved a barricade for my car to go through.
Hi, thanks.
I drove through and parked in the first small lot next to a black car with duct tape on the bumper. I narrowed my eyes. I'd been in it only once, but I knew that car. It was Donovan's. Why was he here? Especially when he should have been at school. I jumped out of my car and walked quickly to my trailer. He wasn't there. Past the trailers, before the path that led to the filming in the trees, was a small amphitheater surrounding a fire pit and stage. That's where I saw two guys standing and talking. Grant and Donovan. Was Donovan interviewing him? Did he think Grant was a suspect after all? I looked at my phone. I was supposed to be sitting in a makeup chair right now. I sent Simone a text. Give me 10 minutes. I knocked on Amanda's trailer door. She answered, and when she saw it was me, a hopeful expression took over her face. You want to help me with something? I asked. If she was being truthful about not trying to sabotage me, she could prove it to me now by backing me up with Grant. She hopped down the two steps and shut the door behind her.
With what?
Follow me. As we got closer to the guys, I heard Donovan speaking in slow, measured sentences. He had his notebook out and was holding his phone up, too, as if he was recording the conversation.
And do you feel others have helped you get to where you are today?
Absolutely. I wouldn't be here without a long list of people.
He was conducting the interview. Donovan's back was to me, so Grant saw me first. He smiled.
Lacey, Amanda, hey. Say hi for the recording.
Hi, I said as we reached them. I tried to catch Donovan's eye, but he was focusing all his energy on his notebook and phone.
You look hot, Lacey,
Grant said, and Donovan's jaw twitched.
What are you guys doing? I asked.
Your tutor wants to know about acting. He's going to write a piece for his high school paper.
I just have one more question,
Donovan said.
Okay, shoot,
Grant said.
How would you feel if I shared the following statement on my social media?
He cleared his throat.
Grant James, helped by many over the years, doesn't believe in helping others. He watched from the sidelines as his co-star's reputation got trashed.
Donovan's face showed no emotion. He had asked the question in the same measured calmness he had asked the one before. Grant's face, on the other hand, became stone. Amanda let out a startled cough, and I just stared at Donovan. I couldn't believe he was doing this, and doing it so well. I knew it must have been hard for him.
That's a great question, Amanda said.
Grant crossed his arms over his chest.
What do you expect me to do? I'm not exactly in a good position to help anyone else.
You still have millions of loyal fans,
Donovan said.
A few nice posts about Lacey online would go a long way.
My publicist tells me exactly what and when to post.
I don't believe you.
Grant didn't respond, meaning Donovan was right. Grant wasn't told what to post. At least not all the time.
Nobody tells me when or what to post either,
Donovan said.
So I guess I know what I'll be posting today.
I'm sure you and your 100 followers will find a post about me shocking.
Between all my platforms, I have 200,000 followers,
Donovan said.
What? I asked in shock.
I had a review go viral, he said. so most of my followers are very specific ones. Ones who would appreciate this new bit of information about Grant James.
Amanda laughed a little next to me.
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Grant looked at her.
Am I missing something?
Grant James goes down in flames, she said.
Grant's head whipped back to Donovan so fast that I was surprised he didn't black out.
That was you?
Donovan handed his phone to me as if he knew what was coming. I stepped in front of him. Don't do anything stupid, I said to Grant.
Are you all blackmailing me?
He asked.
Just giving you a little motivation to be a good person, Donovan said. I have a different, much better statement I'd rather share with my followers. Grant James breathes the life into Lacey Barnes's career and revives his own along with it. Together, they are power.
You'd say that? Grant asked. To your mob of Grant James haters?
And I would actually mean it. I could throw in something about how Lacey said you were an excellent kisser, too, if you'd like.
I almost scoffed at that, because I said nothing of the sort. But I clamped my mouth shut. Donovan was seconds away from succeeding at this. Amanda chimed in.
Can you imagine the praise you'll get forever if you help launch a career? Lacey will do big things after this, mark my words. And it will be because of you.
It was obvious that everyone in this group knew that the way to appeal to Grant's mercy was through his ego. Except him, maybe.
It's not that I don't like you, Lacey,
he said.
You're cool. It's just that I need to prove myself with this movie. And if you don't hold up your end, I kind of want to distance myself from you.
I know, I said. I'm not a fan of things going wrong either. I looked at Amanda, waiting to see if she was willing to confess yet.
It wasn't me, she insisted. And if it wasn't me, and I'm assuming it wasn't you, she said, pointing at Grant.
He shook his head.
Then whoever it was is still out there trying to ruin things.
Hopefully I can work around that. I want this movie to be successful just as much as you do. And I think if we work together as a team, it will only help all of us. I met Grant's eyes. His eyes went down to the phone that I realized I was still holding out, recording. I turned it off. He let out a long sigh.
Fine. I'll post some awesome things about you.
You will? I asked.
And?
Grant said.
I can expect a viral campaign about me breathing the life into Lacey or something? You can help me win over some Grant haters?
Yes,
Donovan said. Grant pointed between himself and me.
We good? You still going to be able to work with me after this? We have lots of time left.
We're good, I said. And thank you. Grant put his arm around Amanda.
Are we good?
You're completely selfish, but I might be willing to overlook that. We'll see.
She steered him back toward the trailers. I watched the two of them go, then tried to hand Donovan's phone back to him, but he sank onto the nearest bench of the amphitheater. You okay? I asked. His hands were shaking and his face was pale. You're not okay, I realized.
I'm fine.
He managed to get out.
Just give me a second.
You are a rock star. Thank you for that. He nodded, but his eyes were still on the ground in front of him. You have more online followers than I do, by the way, which I am insanely jealous about. He smiled a little.
You'll pass me soon, I'm sure.
I put my hand to his forehead, which was cold and slightly damp. Come on, let's go get you some water and some sugar. I have both in my trailer. He let me lead him to the trailer, where he laid on my couch.
I feel so stupid right now,
he said. Please don't.
You just suppressed your flight instinct to face down someone you'd skewered on social media, and who totally would have punched you in the face if I hadn't been there. That wasn't supposed to be easy, but you did it brilliantly.
Brilliantly?
That's the right word, yes? The one we use when we are completely in awe of someone?
Yes,
he said.
That's the all-encompassing compliment.
I retrieved a water from the fridge and brought it over to him. He scooted toward the back of the couch and pulled on my hand so I'd sit on the small bit of space at the edge. I complied.
I did it for you,
he said. I stretched out alongside him, laying my head on his chest. I know, and I love you for it. I just hope you don't hate me after you have to actually compose and post that statement on all your social media. I could hear his soft laugh through his chest.
I could never hate you. And if all it takes is a couple of showdowns with some enemies for you to love me, just make me a list and I'm on it.
I propped my chin on his chest and looked at him. I think you're set for a while.
So are you.
I smiled, happiness coursing through my chest. You know, I always thought this is what being famous would feel like. This happy, content, amazing feeling.
Yeah?
Maybe it's even better, I said.
Let's not get crazy.
He twisted one of my curls around his finger. You're right. Let's wait until I'm actually famous, and then I'll decide. His eyes traveled over my face.
You are beautiful.
So are you.
What now?
He asked. Now I work hard and set a trap.
You don't think it's Amanda anymore, do you?
No, I don't.
Neither do I.
Okay, I need to go turn this face into a zombie's.
You make a pretty good zombie.
I bared my teeth and lunged for his neck. Dancing Graves. Exterior, forest, night. Scarlet hunts her former friends and family one by one. Benjamin, who she thought she had killed in the lab several nights ago, knows she's out of control, and he must take her down. He stalks her, weapon at the ready, hoping he can do what he knows he needs to do. He comes upon her after her latest kill. Benjamin.
Scarlet. What have you become?
Scarlet.
Exactly what I was meant to.
There is a fight between them. Benjamin is weakened from his recent injury, but eventually he overtakes her. He watches her die, mixed emotions taking over. Exterior, cemetery, morning. Scarlet is lowered into the ground, and Benjamin, the only surviving mourner, watches, then drops a blood-red rose on top of her casket before she is covered with dirt. Exterior, cemetery, night. Camera, pointed at Scarlet's headstone, slowly zooms out. The loose dirt over her grave begins to shift. A hand emerges from the soil. The formula she took minutes after being bitten has made her nearly invincible. 35. The campgrounds were dark. We had filmed today's scenes in the early evening and night. Scarlet's hunting scenes. Hazy lights had been set up, so I didn't realize how dark it was until I was several hundred feet beyond the lights. My phone sat on the table in my trailer. Bait for a troublemaker, but not helpful for me in this moment. I slowed my walk, trying to stay on the foot-worn path. The voices behind me faded with the lights, and soon I found myself in the middle of a group of trees, unable to see more than 3 feet in front of me. Crickets chirped, and a flapping noise sounded from above. I put my hands out in front of me so I wouldn't hit anything and kept walking. If I just walked straight, I'd eventually emerge from the trees.
if I remembered right. It sounded like another set of footsteps joined mine, so I stopped to listen. The other noise stopped as well. Maybe it had just been an echo, or someone farther down the path. I proceeded, only to hear it again. "Hello?" I called. "Grant, is that you?" Nothing. I picked up my pace, and after 10 steps, my hands met a tree, forcing me to stop. I turned a full circle and pressed my back up against the trunk. I'd somehow gotten off the path. Time to swallow my pride. "Hello?" I yelled. "I'm stuck out here. I need a flashlight." I waited, but nobody answered. I cupped my hands around my mouth and yelled the same thing again. This time in my silence, I heard the footsteps, as clear as day. And they were close. Obviously, the person had heard me yelling, and if they were purposely not answering, then their intentions weren't good. I felt around on the ground for something. Anything. My hand met a decent-sized rock. I picked it up. "What do you want?" I asked. "Justice," a voice whispered back. I screamed and chucked the rock I held toward the sound of the voice. A light appeared down the path to my right, and the rustle of someone running away rang out to my left.
"Lacey?"
That was Grant holding the light. "Over here," I said. And then the light was shining on my face in my eyes. He let out a small grunt, then laughed a little.
"You shouldn't hide in the dark with zombie makeup on. You look extra creepy right now."
"Someone was just out here, telling me they wanted justice."
"Who?"
"I don't know. I couldn't see them."
"Are you okay?"
"No." He walked to my side and held out his elbow.
"Can I walk you to your trailer?"
"Yes, and pick up a rock or branch. Your fake sword won't do anything for us."
"It's actually pretty sharp."
"Rock," I demanded. He laughed and aimed his light at the ground, where he found a large rock.
"Is that good enough?"
"Yes. I'll hold the light."
"Wow, you're spooked."
"Of course I'm spooked. There is someone out here."
"Who do you think it was?"
he asked, picking up the rock. "I have no idea. It was too dark to see anything."
"Was it a guy or a girl?"
"A guy, I think. They were whispering. It was hard to tell." We took several more steps. "I might be able to find out, though. I was recording my trailer today. I'm going to go watch the footage now."
"You were recording your trailer?"
"With my laptop, to see if I could catch someone messing with my things."
"I'm totally there for that. Let's grab Amanda."
"This is so boring," Amanda said, as she, Grant, and I sat huddled around my computer, watching a recording that so far consisted of my cell phone sitting on the table, undisturbed. I sped up the video, but it had been recording all day, so it was taking forever. I didn't want to risk missing something by skipping forward.
"Look,"
Grant said, tapping the screen. A figure had come into the shot. I tapped on the play button so it went back to normal speed, then skipped it back 30 seconds. We all watched as Faith came into my trailer carrying some green pages. She dropped them on my table, then left.
"So it's not Faith,"
Grant said.
"That doesn't prove it's not her," Amanda said. "That just shows she comes into your trailer when you're not there."
"Like everyone else," I said.
"I don't come in when you're not here,"
Grant said.
"I do," Amanda said, "to hide in your shower."
"You're still evil," I said, and sped up the video again. We all proceeded to stare at it. I wasn't sure how much time had passed, but there was a knock on the door. I jumped, and Grant laughed. "Come in," I called. Donovan poked his head inside. I smiled. "I didn't think you were coming back today."
"I got done at work early."
He looked between the three of us.
"What are you doing?"
"We're watching the video of my trailer."
"Any activity?"
"None." Grant didn't give up his seat next to me, so Donovan slid into a chair at the table. We stayed this way until the recording ended. "Huh," I said. "Guess I'll have to set it up again tomorrow."
"I will not be watching that again tomorrow," Grant said.
I stood and set my laptop on the table. Donovan grabbed my hand and gave it a squeeze. "You know what we need to do?" I announced. "We need to set a trap."
"What do you mean?" Amanda asked.
"Someone intercepted me in the woods earlier, tried to scare me."
"They did?"
Donovan asked.
"Are you okay?"
"I'm fine, but maybe they'll try again tomorrow night."
"Why would they try again?"
Grant asked. "Because they succeeded. I was terrified, and they knew it. If I give them the opportunity to do the same thing tomorrow, I have a feeling they would. I'll make a big deal about forgetting my light. I'll ask you to walk me, Grant, and you'll say no."
"That would make me seem like a jerk," he said.
"You are sometimes," Amanda commented.
"Thanks," he said.
"And then I'll walk down the same path I did tonight and hopefully draw the person after me. And you'll all surround them."
"The three of us will surround them?"
Donovan asked. "You're right. We need more recruits we can trust. People not involved with this movie in any way." "I'll take care of that part. You guys just get ready to catch the culprit." Amanda let out a low laugh. "What?" I asked.
"Did you just use the word culprit?"
"Shut up." Grant stood and stretched.
"This is like a real-life movie. Except that whole watching an hour's worth of video on your computer would have been edited out."
Amanda stood as well.
"Good thing we have America's favorite action hero, Heath Hall," she said, taking Grant's hand and leading him to the door.
"I'm not America's favorite right now, but I will be soon."
He winked at me, and they both left my trailer. I turned to Donovan. "Hi."
"Hi."
He pulled me down onto his lap and into a hug.
"Is this the exciting life I can hope to lead when dating an actress?"
"No. Most of the time it will be really boring. Just me. And occasionally you needing to fake a British accent to help me with my lines."
"Sounds perfect to me."
"Give me one second. I need to text my friend. And then we are going to make out." He laughed.
"I like how you give me warnings when we are going to make out, as if I need to prepare myself."
"You do." I grabbed my phone and texted Abby. "Are you still coming to see me tomorrow?" She responded almost immediately. "Yes." "Will you bring Cooper?" "I can see if he's available. Why?" "We're taking down a bad guy." 36. We were on our dinner break the next day, and I had gathered my band of vigilantes in my trailer. I didn't want too many people in on this, or suspicions would arise, but I needed enough to trap the perpetrator. Hopefully 5 was the lucky number. Donovan, Abby, Cooper, Amanda, and Grant. "Thanks, everyone, for coming. For believing me." Abby kept giving Grant sideways glances. I'd introduced both her and Cooper to him earlier, and both of them were beyond starstruck. Especially now, with him in full costume, leaning against the wall, hair perfectly coiffed, neck scarf neatly tied, and sword dangling from his waist.
"What's the plan?"
Grant asked. "After our final scene of the day, I'm going to start walking back, just like yesterday. I'm going to say something about how I forgot a light again. I'll pause and pretend like I'm going to turn back, but change my mind. Donovan, Amanda, Abby, and Cooper will be hiding, ready to intercept from the far side. Grant, you'll come up from behind, since you'll have been on set with me."
"And if the person never shows up?" Amanda asked.
"Hopefully they will."
"Let's catch the bad guy," Amanda said, standing up.
I smiled. T-minus 2 hours to takedown.
"Can I eat now?"
Grant asked. "Yes, go eat." Grant waved to the room as he left.
"Me too," Amanda said. "I'll see you later,"
She shut the door behind her, and Abby let out a little squeal. I know I shouldn't think this is cool because someone has been screwing you over, but... It's fine. You can say it, I said.
I just met Grant James, she said.
You were right, Cooper joined. He is very attractive.
I laughed. You all okay to hang out here for the next 2 hours while I'm on set?
Yes, we have your boyfriend to grill, Abby said.
I raised my eyebrows at Donovan, and he said,
I'll survive.
Good. I need to go eat. And next time I see you, hopefully you'll be surrounding my tormentor. I had stepped onto the gravel outside my trailer when Donovan said,
Hey.
I turned.
You okay?
A little nervous, I admitted. As much as I wanted to figure out who had been sabotaging me, I also kind of didn't want to know.
You don't think this person would hurt you, do you?
I don't think so. Although I wasn't sure. I hadn't felt safe at all the night before.
Be careful, okay?
I will. I hugged him. He moved to kiss me when I took a step back.
You really want to kiss this?
I pointed at my zombie makeup. He smiled.
Hey, I started liking you in the middle of you wearing all that.
I patted his cheek.
That's sweet, but you still can't kiss me.
I can't risk you messing it up.
Fair enough.
He gave me another hug.
See you later.
The tip of Benjamin's sword pressed against my throat. It was cold, and Grant was right, a little sharp.
Do you know how many people you've killed? I can't let this go on.
Grant said as Benjamin.
Then don't, I growled.
We walked a slow circle, the camera following us.
Scarlet, what have you become?
Exactly what I was meant to.
He pulled his arm back and thrust the sword forward. I dodged, and we got into our choreographed scuffle. Then Grant stabbed his sword to the right of my neck. The angle of the camera would make it look like it went straight through. I put my hands to my throat, breaking the packets of fake blood I'd been holding. I collapsed to the ground. Grant stood over me, then brought his sword down again. He paused, staring down at me for several moments, before Remy called,
Cut!
I stood, and Simone came forward and cleaned up my neck, then fixed the makeup for another take. I let my eyes scan over the group of people in the hazy light surrounding me. Remy studied the monitor and pointed out a few things to the camera person. Noah was just beyond him, looking over his shoulder. Simone was now talking to Audrey, the hair person. Faith was looking at the script. Next to her, standing alone, was Grant's agent. We locked eyes for a moment, and he shook his head slightly. I wasn't sure what that meant. Everyone else was a crew member I'd seen around, but had never really conversed with. My heart picked up speed as I thought about walking through the dark, alone.
You want to take my sword?
Grant whispered from beside me, as if he'd read my mind. I smiled. Grant's eyes were now taking in our surroundings as well.
Do you think the person is here right now?
I don't know. We ran the scene 2 more times before Remy said,
That's a wrap.
I took a steadying breath. Grant reached over and squeezed my arm. It was a sweet gesture that bolstered my opinion of him.
I'm right behind you,
he whispered. I nodded. Hey, I said loudly. Will you walk me back to the trailers? I forgot my light.
I need to talk to Remy and watch some raw footage. You'll be fine, he said,
playing the role I assigned him.
Fine.
He smirked and headed over to the monitors. I went for the path. And just like that, I was alone in the dark. Just beyond the set I was leaving behind, I stopped and looked back, acted nervous. I took 1 step back toward the set, but then shook my head and turned back to the path. I walked slowly to provide plenty of opportunity. The problem was, I really couldn't see. I should have remembered this small detail from the day before. I'd shown the others which path to wait on, but after several more minutes of walking, I wasn't even sure I was on that path. Especially not when I tripped over a large root. I didn't remember there being roots on the walking path.
Crap, I grunted under my breath.
Each step I took forward after that, I used my foot to feel the ground in front of me. This was going to take all night. Then I heard it. The footsteps behind me again. I looked over my shoulder, but saw nothing but blackness.
Grant?
I knew that wasn't the plan, but maybe he'd followed me when I got off course. No response.
Hello?
Are you scared? A voice whispered. I let out a scream, hoping my friends would hear it, and took off running. I made it only 10 steps before I tripped on a root and went down, hard, scuffing both palms. I flipped over and scooted backward while looking all around me.
What do you want from me? I said.
A rustling sound to my right launched me to my feet again. I should have taken Grant's sword.
I'm over here, I yelled.
My voice bounced off the trees, which wouldn't help with locating me at all. Silence. And then the loudest footsteps yet. Fast, running toward me. I should have run. I needed to run. But the thought of tripping again and having my back to someone coming at me had me doing the exact opposite. I held my ground, and when I saw a dark form reach my field of vision, I launched myself forward, wrapping my arms around it. We both fell. I landed on my back, knocking the wind out of me. The figure rolled off me and bolted. I caught my breath, lying there while I assessed the damage. I seemed okay. I'd probably have a few bruises. I heard a shout behind me, and then several others. I picked myself up off the ground and made my way to the noise. My friends were there. Donovan was shining a light on someone who was struggling against Cooper's arms. Grant ran up from a different direction, joining the scuffle. Abby came to my side.
Sorry, we got to you just as you fell over.
Who is it? I asked.
I don't know.
I reached the small knot of people. Aaron? I said.
He pushed against Cooper's arms one more time, but then gave up, a defeated look coming over his face.
Why? I asked.
I didn't mean for you to fall. You were supposed to run.
His voice sounded panicked, and his eyes darted all around, even though I knew he couldn't see much of anything with the light shining on him.
But why did you do all this? Why were you sabotaging me?
I wasn't, he said, but it wasn't convincing.
I know you were, so you might as well talk.
I just want to go. Let me go.
There were tears in his voice, even though there were none in his eyes.
Tell me why first, and then we'll let you go.
Because my dad is a jerk. He traded our year of plans for this stupid movie. He deserves for it to fail epically.
My eyes went to Donovan, who was still holding his light to Aaron's face, so I couldn't really see him. I wondered if Aaron's bitter feelings toward his dad were something he could relate to.
And you thought targeting me would make it fail? I asked.
I wasn't targeting you. I was just trying to mess up the movie in general.
They all related to me, I started to say, but then realized they really didn't.
When the light fell over and the headstone was damaged, I just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and my zombie face section going missing reflected badly on Leah, not me. The other things seemed directed at me, but I wondered if there were more things that he'd done that I hadn't even realized. That article felt really personal, I suddenly remembered. He shook his head.
I didn't do that, at all. That was probably just crew members talking to the press or something.
Cooper let go of Aaron, and he just stood there, staring at me, looking miserable.
Are you going to tell my dad?
He asked.
Of course we're going to tell your dad,
Grant said. I held up my hand. You have two choices. You can stop coming to the set, or you can keep hanging around and tell your dad yourself.
I'll stop coming, he said quickly.
We're not going to tell? Amanda asked.
No, I held Aaron's gaze. We're not. He gave me a single nod, wiped at his eyes with the back of his hand, then said,
I'm sorry.
I know, I responded. He pushed his way through the group, head hanging, and disappeared into the dark.
What a little punk, Amanda said.
Donovan came up to my side.
Did he hurt you?
I looked at my palms, and he shined his light on them. Just a few scrapes. I'll be fine. I'm just glad it's over. It was over. I let that sink in. Now I could do my job without distractions.
This calls for a campfire, Amanda said.
37. It had been several weeks of highs and lows. But this was definitely the high point. Sitting around a campfire, with a movie star, my best friends, and my boyfriend on location at the movie I was filming. I'd taken off my makeup and changed into street clothes. We'd rounded up some chairs, but I preferred the ground, leaning up against Donovan's knees behind me. He pulled on the ends of my hair as I held a stick over the flames.
Do you think Craft Services has marshmallows? Amanda asked. I think they're gone for the day, I said.
It was close to 11. My dad had given me permission to stay out late since Abby was in town.
I think I have some in my trailer, Grant said.
You have marshmallows in your trailer? Abby asked.
Probably. That Aaron kid always kept me stocked up with treats. I'm going to miss him.
Silence followed his statement.
Too soon?
He asked. We all laughed. I poked at the logs in the fire with my stick. I don't think you have marshmallows in your trailer.
I'll bet you $1,000.
Amanda threw a small piece of bark into the fire, sending up a few sparks.
Grant, most people say, I'll bet you $5, or maybe $20.
What?
He asked.
Just trying to keep you relatable.
He gave her a slow smile.
Whoever said I wanted to be relatable?
He stood.
I'm going to get those marshmallows.
Amanda climbed to her feet.
I'll come with you, so I can verify that you owe Lacey $1,000.
I laughed as they walked away. I left my phone in your trailer, Lacey, Abby said. We'll be back too.
Okay.
It was just Donovan and me. I leaned my head back on his knees and looked up at the stars. They were so bright up here away from the city lights. Thanks for helping me today, I said.
Anytime.
He played with my hair some more before he asked,
Why did you let Aaron off so easy?
I don't know. Not that it excuses his behavior, but I sort of understood his motivation. He's feeling neglected, I said. I've been there before.
Me too,
Donovan said.
It was nice of you.
I know. I'm brilliant. Donovan gave a soft laugh.
Yes, you are.
I don't have zombie makeup on anymore, I said.
I noticed.
That means you can kiss me now. He leaned over to where I was still resting on his knees and kissed my forehead. That's nice. I said, turning around and moving up onto my knees. But I need more. I pressed my lips against his. Epilogue. 1 year later. I knew it wasn't going to be a blockbuster, but that didn't mean I hadn't dressed up like I was some world-famous star for the premiere of Dancing Graves. They had rolled out the red carpet, after all. I was pretty sure they did that for every movie premiere, or just whenever the carpet needed airing out,
but whatever. It was red, and I was walking on it. My dad and mom were bypassing the carpet and meeting me inside. But I had a handsome date decked out in a tuxedo on my arm and was owning every second of this experience.
Lacey, Lacey, look over here,
a photographer called, and Donovan and I paused for a moment to pose for a shot.
Is this more what you had in mind when you thought of people yelling your name?
Donovan asked quietly from beside me. Yes, actually. I squeezed his hand. Is this what you had in mind when you banned yourself from dating actresses?
This part hadn't even occurred to me. It should have gone on the cons list for sure.
We continued walking, the same scene playing out with the photographers until we were inside. Amanda and Grant were there, looking amazing. They'd come together, but I didn't think they were still dating. They'd been on again, off again for the last year. I didn't see them much. I ended up finishing out the school year at the school that had hosted my independent study, surprising both my dad, my mom, and myself. I missed my Central Coast friends, but I wanted to spend more time really connecting with my dad. And the fact that Donovan was there didn't hurt at all. I also decided I wanted to wait to film another movie until high school was over. It was my senior year. I wanted to experience it. And I had. And now I had my first audition the following week. Amanda rushed over to give me a hug.
How are you feeling? Are you ready to see your face on a huge screen?
I've never seen it on one quite so big, so I'll let you know later. Grant sauntered over.
You brought a critic for your date?
I'm only your critic, Donovan said to Grant.
I laughed.
He's teasing you, Grant.
When he still didn't laugh, I asked, How is your shoot-'em-up movie going? He'd been hired again for his reoccurring role as Heath Hall, the teenaged spy. The role he thought he'd lost.
Very well, he said. There are loads of special effects.
Are you trying to say there aren't any in the movie we're about to watch?
He smirked, finally loosening up a bit. See you guys later, I said. I see my parents. My mom and dad had come together as well, even though they were, of course, not together. My mom was still happily married, and my dad was single again. He and Leah had dated only a few months, and last I heard, she was back together with Remy. I wondered if I'd see them here tonight. I wondered if that would be awkward. Dad smiled as Donovan and I approached.
How are you feeling? Mom asked, sounding like she was the one who might not be able to contain her excitement.
Excited, and kind of terrified.
We're proud of you,
Dad said.
For what? I asked. Getting dressed up and coming to a movie premiere?
For seeing it through. Even when it got hard.
That was big coming from my dad. He was part of the reason it had been so hard, but he had let go a lot in the last year. My mom was still as busy as ever, but I knew she was happy for me.
What do you mean? It was never hard, I said.
Donovan smiled beside me. He looked so good in a tux.
So, really? I asked Donovan. Are you going to review this movie? I know you're done with the school paper and everything, but maybe for your first piece at college?
Donovan had been accepted at Berkeley, majoring in journalism and communications, and my plan was to be as close to him as possible when I wasn't filming.
I'm just going to be your boyfriend tonight, he said.
Good answer. People started filing into the theater.
Are you all ready? I asked.
It doesn't matter if we are,
Donovan said, kissing the back of my hand.
Are you?
More than ready.
This is Caitlin Kelly. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Fame, Fate, and the First Kiss by Casey West, presented by Harper Teen and Harper Audio. This program was produced by B Audio Limited. Executive producer, Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright 2019 by Casey West. Production copyright 2019 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for